we are holding on Chofdalet, Amud Aleph, for about three quarters of the way down the Amud line against Klal.
Summarizing.
Okay, well, we're somewhat continuing on the same topic, but a new twist on it. We were talking before about the idea of Siruf Kli, the idea that when it comes to Kodshim, you have two different things that are in one Keli, are considered as if they were as if they're combined. So we said we know that's true as far as Tumah. If a Tavul Yoyim touches part of it, it becomes fossil. Does that only apply if all of it is touching each other, or does it even apply if they're not touching each other? By the way, at the beginning of the sugya, I didn't mention this yesterday, but Rashi points out the reason why, if it was a matter of anything more than a tavul yoyim, if it was any stronger tumah than a tavul yoyim touching it, then it would be neither here nor there anyway. If the different pieces of food inside the keli are touching each other, then anyway, the first one's going to be a rishon and the second one's going to be a sheni and so forth. The point is, here we're talking about a tavul yoyim, where he can only make the first piece that he touches tumah, but we're saying that we have this concept of siruch kli. So does that apply even when they're not touching, or would it only apply if they were touching? And then we would say that fine, he topples the one that he touches, and because that one is touching the next one, then that one also becomes possible.
If they're all connected,
then, no, that's the point. You can have different pieces that are touching each other. If you have, for example, if you have, for example, a piece of meat and a piece of bread sitting next to each other, they're not in.
No, same min.
No, even if it's the same min, they can still be different pieces. You have different masses of dough. They're touching.
Yeah.
You have that, for example, and then in Hilchos Challah, for example, you have a difference whether they're just touching or whether they're actually biting each other. Like if you separate them and one is going to take a little piece of the other, that kind of thing. Anyway, the point is, so we got into this whole idea of Siruchli, about whether things in a Keli combine together. So we discussed, does it apply L'chumra, as far as a Tavul Yoyim touches one, then all of them become Tavli, even if they're not touching it, because they're in the same Keli. And then we also discussed the question, what about as far as L'chula, if you had a Mincha that was divided like that, half of it in one part of the container and half in another, would you be able to take a Kmitza from one part, and it would work for the whole thing? So now continuing on this topic of Siruchli. Boyer Rabbi Yehuda, about three quarters of the way down the Amud, line against Klal. Boyer Rabbi Yehuda, Siruf Kli v'chibur mayim mahu. Now, how about, let's have another twist over here.
The conclusion so far is that
there is such a thing as Siruf Kli as far as Tumah, as far as Tsulya, as far as Tsulya and passing it. We said, we're not sure. Rava tried to prove from a case involving Shnei Kalim versus Kli Echad, that it should work, but Abaya shoots that down and says that you can't necessarily prove that the Braisa may be talking about a case where you have two Kalim that are separated by a high wall, by a low wall, by half a wall or whatever, not necessarily, but at least the dough is touching at some place or other, not over here where it's completely separated. Okay. Now what would happen if you have, again, you have the two half Isarin, the two lumps of dough that together are supposed to make up a mincha. So now you have, okay, so we said before that Siruf Kli works as far as passing them. If a Tavul Yoyim touches one of them, then the other one becomes tasser.
When they're
in the same keli, but not touching. Yeah. But here we have, the twist is, we have the Chibur Mayim. What if we have also, there's a connection with water? Meaning, in other words, Rashi describes the scenario like this. You have two half Isarin, you have one half Isarin here, one half Isarin here, inside the keli. Then you have, there's another half Isarin outside the keli, but then you have some water that's touching one of the pieces inside and also that piece outside, like going over the rim of the keli. So you have, let's say, so here's the inside of the keli. Here's the inside of the keli. You have one piece here, one piece here. Then you have on the outside another piece where there's water connecting them. You have it actually described. You have, let's say, for example, you have nitzuk, you have tzinur, you have some kind of thing where there's water flowing between the one that's inside the keli and the one that's outside it. So therefore, the question then will be, let's say one of the ones inside the keli became possible because of the tavul yoyim. So we know it'll passel the other one in the keli, that's seriously. Will it also passel the one that's outside the keli? Because they're connected by water. Well, so you have three pieces. One here, two inside, and one outside. The third one is not part of the same Isarin, but the point is that you have, they're connected by water. So now the question is, are we going to say, therefore, that connection is going to make, that once this one became possible, then the other one that's connected here by water is also going to become possible?
And the fact is water there and it's taking the dough, not supposed to have any water, supposed to have flour and oil for minchah.
Right. I mean, when we say water, when we say water over here, first of all, we don't need specifically water. It could be the same principle would apply with any of the Shiva Mashkin. It could be oil. It could be oil just as well. And oil is water and stuff. But yeah, that's the point is not whether the liquid that we're talking about is something that's supposed to be in a mincha or not. The point is that you have a certain connection between them. So therefore that raises the question then. So now is Tumah gonna go from one to the other? Well, it is Machshel the Kabbal Tumah, but in addition, you also have that in this particular case, what you have is once they're touching, yeah. So therefore, they're touching through the water. So therefore, that's the question. And actually, Tosfos discusses at some length over here the whole issue. Do we really say that water connects pieces of food? We actually had a short discussion about that in Zvachim, about pieces of food being connected by water, but nevertheless, Tosfos says, okay, apparently sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. So that's the question over here. So the question over here then becomes whether this water that's touching the piece inside and the piece outside is going to connect them and they're going to be considered connected as far as Torah. So therefore, if one of them becomes Tomei, then through the water, the other one is going to also become Tomei. So do we say like this? When we say that a keli connects together whatever is in it as far as kodesh, well, maybe that only applies what's inside the keli. Maybe it doesn't apply to what's outside the keli. But what's outside that, or Dilma, or maybe not, given the Mechaber. Once they're connected, then they're connected, and therefore there's no difference. So the case we're talking about over here again is you have two pieces inside the Kaylee, and you have one piece outside the Kaylee. So the question is if he touches one of the pieces inside the Kaylee, so actually, the Rambam understands it slightly differently. He says that what happens is, therefore, that the water that's outside the keli becomes tameh. Well, the question is whether that water becomes tameh because it's touching the food, and then in turn the water is going to be mekameh the other food, or maybe not.
Never heard
a problem like this. Well, that's just sure. I mean, we've had similar cases in other places in chat, but yeah. Okay. And also, I actually the Rambam seems to understand the case over here a little bit differently, that we're talking about over here, that the other way around. We're talking about the person touches the water on the outside, then the question is it going to be metame the food, is it going to be metame the food rest? Okay. The im timsalayim akivin de machaber, you may answer that yes, since you could say that yes, it's just connected, and that's it, it's connected, and therefore the one outside is going to become tummy, or according to the Rambam, the other way around, the one inside is going to become tummy. You could ask them the other way around. What if you have the other way around? What if you have the one that's outside became tummy, now does it transmit to the one, now the piece that was outside, according to the Rambam, we're talking about the water outside, here we're talking about the piece that's outside became tummy, or pulse, or whatever, by the tavul yom touching it, will the one that's inside become tummy? So that's water. We have chibur mayim, they're connected by water, but siruf kli, and then we have to deal with the matter of siruf kli. So now, first of all, is the first one going to become tummy at all? And once it does, is the other one, the first one inside the keli, and then is the other one inside the keli going to become tummy, right? Well, because it's siruf kli. So do we say v'nogat tavul yom b'chutz, and a tavul yom touches the one that's outside, mahu, what's the din? Do we say kitnan kli mesadif, when we say that a keli connects together what's inside it, hani mi l'dinogam gavoi, that maybe only applies when he's touching one of the things inside it, am b'broi loy, but not when he touched something that was outside it, like here he touched a piece of dough that was outside it, maybe there's no difference. And the answer is kaylee. So for the first case, because we have an intim saloimar, as usual, that amam has in fact the intim saloimar. So the answer is in the first case that the one on the outside will become tummy. Because we said intim saloimar that it does, then we have to ask the other way around. The second one, we're left with a kaylee. So we don't know whether the ones on the inside become tummy or not. The sulfate, yeah.
The one that got that was coming was the one outside.
So that's in the second case, is the one that became, the one that the Chavuljan actually touched is the one that's outside, right?
That's
yeah. Yeah. So, Hadrava sulfate, but I'm going to say, if the other oichel, because there's a, well, so the one that's attached by the water definitely, the water definitely transmits the trauma. The question is whether the other one, no, the one from the outside to the inside, because they're connected by water. The question is the other one, which isn't connected to them at all. You only have Sirach Kli. Does that one become Tomei as a result of this one, which in turn became Tomei as a result of this one, or not?
Oh, but the water is touching.
Is only touching one of them inside, not the other one.
The right one touches the right one, but the right one is touching with the left one.
Yeah.
The left one.
No, so we're not talking about if he touched the right one. Now, obviously, if he touched the right one, the left one becomes Tomei. What we're talking about is if he touched the one on the outside, which is connected by water to the right one, and then does the left one become Tomei, right? So that's the one that we're left with.
Now, where's the water still? No, where's the water going by not touching that other?
Okay, you have a small amount of water. I don't know. It doesn't have to be that it's flowing. I mean, Rashi gave examples where it's flowing, but you could have a scenario where it's flowing at one end of the Kali, but not at the other. I don't know, where the Kali is tilted a little bit. Yeah, but yeah, I'm sure
you can have it. You can have a better scenario. There's a drop of rain that hits the one outside and rebounds onto the right.
Well, it rebounds, that's not quite the same thing, because you don't have an actual column of water connecting them. So you just have a drop of water that touches one. Because it has to be a steady flow of water, yeah. That's a whole different thing. Okay. All right. Another case involving Sirach Kli. So now another case, right. Another case involving Sirach Kli. Well, not in here, actually, we're going to start talking about another issue called Sova Tuma. Do we ever say that something is as Tomei as it's going to get, and it's not going to get any more Tomei, or not? But boy, Rava. So Rava has a question like this. Yisorin Shechokha, suppose you have an Yisorin that you divided, the Yisorin and the Mincha, you divided it into two pieces. Minitma Echaman, now let's say one of them became Tomei, plain old Tomei, plain old Tomei. The Hinicha the Bisa, at that point he put it in the Bisa together with the other one. Now they're not touching. Bisa is the Keli that you put a Mincha into. The point is, now, if it had become Tomei inside the Kli, then we would have Sirach Kli that we talked about before. Here it became Tomei outside the Keli. Therefore, putting it in the Keli together with the other piece is not going to make Sirach Kli happen. So we know that the second one is not going to become Tomei just as a result of you put it into the Keli. Sirach Kli would be when they're both inside and one of them becomes Tomei or Apostle, then the other one also does because it's Sirach Kli. Here, where one of them was Tomei before you put it in the Keli, then putting the other one into it when they're not touching isn't going to make the other one Tomei.
But Sirach Kli isn't
right. Sirach Kli only means when it became Tomei inside the Keli. Yeah. Yeah, that's what Rashi says. That the Siruch only helps. You're not going to say that Siruch helps one to be Matame the other unless it actually became Tomei, unless it actually was inside the Keli. So now the question is, now the twist is, the Tvulyan went to touch that same piece that before was Tomei or Postle at what when it was outside of the Keli. Now the Tvulyan touched it again when it was inside the Keli. The question is, Mahu, Miyamin and Sovalai Tuma, do we say that the first piece has absorbed as much Tuma as it's going to? In other words, when you get down to it, the Tuma that's getting now from the Tavul Yoim is not any stronger than the Tuma, or the Tuma, before actually it became Tomei. Before we're talking about it became Tomei, let's say it was touched by an Ava Tuma. Here we're talking about it's only being touched by a Tavul Yoim, which is a Vlada Tuma, yeah, so... So now the question is, do we say, once it already became Tomei through an Ava Toma and became a Rishon, let's say, then you're not going to have, but the Tvulyan touching it can't make it any more Tomei than it is. That's a lesser degree of Toma. So therefore, his touching it has no effect. Therefore, Sirach Kli is still not going to happen, and the other piece will be fine. Or maybe not. Maybe we don't say this concept of Sova Loi Toma. Maybe we say, even though it had a greater degree of Toma, it's still also susceptible to a lesser degree of Toma, the kind that it's Tvulyoim gives it. Therefore, it's going to become, on top of the fact that it's Tomei, it's also now going to become possible from the Tvulyoim, and now the other one is going to become possible as well because it's Sirach Kli.
But now it's half indicated.
Yeah.
Is it cumulative or not?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What makes you think that we say this concept of Sovalei Tuma, that once it's absorbed as much Tuma as it can, then it can't absorb more Tuma? I'll give you a Mishnah to the contrary. The Mishnah says like this. If you have a sheet a bed sheet that was tomei midrash. So a zov had slept on it, which makes it tomei, because we know that anything that's normally used for sitting or sleeping or whatever is tomei midrash. Okay. Va'asoi vilon. Then somebody went and turned the sheet into a curtain. So he made it into a curtain. He was kaveya it over there. Rashi says, Tosfos points out he'd actually have to do a shinri maisa there. He'd have to do something to it to demonstrate that it's no longer a bed sheet, but now it's a curtain. So now it's not susceptible to tumas midras anymore, because we know the famous concept, amorid v'nachim alachseinu, that's something that's not meant for sitting or sleeping or whatever on, that somebody sits or sleeps or whatever on, is not tumas midras, because they tell them, get up, we have work to do over here. So that's the whole perek over there that we do for them, kalim over there, shlosha tusenhein, is based on this concept. You have each kind of kalim, whatever that it mentions over there, you have one type of the tumas midras, it's meant for one of the functions of it is to sit on or sleep on or whatever. Another one where the function of it is not for that, but nevertheless, there are a couple others. So that's the point. So at this point, it loses its tumas midras, right? Exactly. If he were to take it and sleep on it, we would tell him, get up, this is supposed to be a curtain now, this is not a bed sheet anymore. Similarly, yeah, the whole concept is daraisa, because the pasuk says "Vayoshev al akli asher yeshev olav azov" becomes tummy. The fact that it says "akli asher yeshev olav" and you have similar expressions in the sukkim over there in parashas Hatorta implies that it has to be a kei that's meant for sitting or meant for sleeping or whatever. So it doesn't have to be that it's its only function. It doesn't have to be, let's say, for example, a chair's main function is to sit on. It can be, for example, its main function is for something else, but in addition, it's also regularly used for sitting. For example, in that parak, Shlosha Trisanein, you have the first example over there is Trisak Kofel, so the curved shield. So on the one hand, the person uses it during war, but also it has a secondary use that when it's time to go to sleep, on the battlefield, he puts it down and lies on it. So it's Tumim Midra. As opposed to the second kind of there, what's the second kind of there? Flat one, Shemasakun, is not meant for nobody ever sleeps on it. And if somebody were to lay down on it, they would tell him, I'm worried about not going to last famous. So therefore, it's only macabre other kinds of tumas mess and so forth. So over here, it's the same thing. You have a sheet that originally was tumim midras. Then you made it into a curtain. So now it's not tumim midras anymore. Aval tumim maga midras. However, it's tumim for a lesser degree of tumah because it touched midras. It touched midras in a sense. The Tosfos discusses over here the idea that we can say that this part of the Mishnah goes according to the mayor. The mayor holds, you have a concept in halacha called maga beit hasorim. You can have where one thing touches another thing in a hidden or concealed area. So now, the mayor holds that such a thing is still metamor. The other chachamim hold that not. So let's say, for example, over here, when this sheet over here became no longer tamei midras, but still you have, as it's becoming not tamei midras anymore, it's touching itself. You have one part of it is touching another part. So it's maga based asarim, because you can't point to one particular place and say, here it's touching, here it's touching and here it isn't. But when it's flat, we're talking about. We're not talking about when it's folded or whatever. If it was folded, it would be a whole different issue. But, okay. So we're near the top of the album. Okay, so again, so Reb Meir, Tosfos explains this part of the Mishnah is going according to Reb Meir, who holds the concept of maga beit hasorim, that you have that when one thing touches another, even if the place where they touch is not visible at all, and in this case it's not because it's all part of the same fabric, nevertheless it can become tomei, we still consider it that it touched something which is midrash. So it won't be midrash itself, it won't make a person who sits on it tomei, let's say, but it'll be a vlada tomei, it'll be a rishon tomei. Amr Rav Yossi, however, so then Rav Yossi comes and disagrees with that. He says, what are you talking about? The Eva Midrash Nogazah. What are you talking about? The thing didn't touch any Midrash. He doesn't hold of Maga Beis Astarim. So the thing itself is no longer Midrash. So you turned it from a sheet into a curtain. And now it's not Tomei Midrash anymore. So therefore, it didn't touch any Midrash that should be Tomei. Ella, however, Rav Yossi says, I do agree that it still can become Tomei. It still can become tomei in another way by the zov. She'im noga by a zov tomei maga zov. If the zov were to touch it,
as a curtain.
So Rashi explained what we're talking about before it was made a curtain. One second. Shinoga by a Zov, that if we're talking about a Zov touched it before it became a Chikurin, so now imagine at this point, as a sheet, it was already Tomei Nidra. We're saying in addition, if the Zov touches it with his hands or whatever, then in addition we're saying then you have Tumas Naga. So now, so that's the point. So in other words, the point is, it sounds like what we're saying is you have, it became Tomei Midras, which is a higher level of Tumas, which makes it that it would be Matame, another person who sat on it. Now instead you're saying, and in addition you're saying at that point, when the Zov touched it, it also became Tomei from Maga Zov, which is a lesser degree of Tumas. Now you're saying the Tumas Midras goes away and the Tumas Maga remains. So therefore, but when it fuses, when you turn it into a curtain, the Tumas Midras goes away. But the point is, as a sheet, it was able to get both Tumas. It was able to get Midras and
a sheet. The Tumas Maga should also go away.
That's the point. No. Because when it's a curtain, it's still, no, because when it's a curtain, it can still be touched by a love. All it is not subject to Tumas Midras anymore, because it's not meant for sitting on or sleeping on anymore.
Right.
But it's still meant for a love can still touch it.
No.
Yeah.
One second. If there's a residual Tumas Maga, when it was a sheet.
That's the argument we're saying over here. We're saying Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying that if the sequence of events, let's, the Gemara, let's learn the next couple of lines of the Gemara. Kinoga by Hazov, Miyatome. So what are we saying? If the Zov touched it, when it was still a sheet, Miyatome, then at any rate, it becomes Tome from Tumas Naga, Vasilul of a Sof, and the implication seems to be even if the touching came after the Midras. In other words, what we have is like this. Suppose the scenario was that on Sunday, while it was still a sheet, the Zov lay down on it. On Monday, while it was still a sheet, he touched it. Now, on the face of it, we're saying that it has both Tumas, that's Tumas Midras and Tumas Maga. Then on Tuesday, you turned it into a curtain. Tumas Midras goes away, because now it's not subject to Midras anymore. The Tumas Naga still remains. And therefore it would be Matame, food and drink and whatever. So therefore, it sounds like even though it had a stronger Tumas on Sunday, it's still on Monday able to get a weaker Tumas, Tumas Maga.
Because
he made it a Vilon and takes away the Tumas Midras. But we're saying that even on Monday, while it was still a sheep, it was able to have both Tumas. It was able to have the stronger one, and then on top of that, also the weaker one. Ketame Midras, Bachach Maga Azov. You have, in other words, it became Tame Midras, and then it became Tame Maga Azov. Now, so it says Abaya to Rava, Amai. Now, why should that work? Lema Sova Le Tumas. Lema Sova Le Tumas. Why don't we say, according to your logic, that Sova Le Tumas, once it absorbs the higher level of Tumas, which is Midras, then it can't absorb the lower level of Tumas, which is Tumas Maga. Therefore, once it's turned into a curtain, it shouldn't be Tame at all. It won't be Tame according to the Yossi Midras or Maga Midras. Midras, for sure, it won't. Everybody agrees because it's not subject to Midras anymore. Maga Midras, the Yossi says, it also won't be because it didn't touch it. You don't say that it touched itself. You don't say Maga based itself.
When it becomes non-midras, does it lose too much midras?
Of course it loses too much midras. That we know. That's how it is. Once you do shinui maisa, that's enough to take away the tumah that it was able to get when it was in its previous state. However, Tumas Maga, Maga Azov, one of the fact that Azov touches it, applies equally well when it's a sheet or when it's a curtain. So therefore, if you were to say, like Rava says, that you have this concept of Sova Le Tuma, then what it would mean is, when on Sunday he lay on it and became Tomei Midras, then on Monday he touched it, we would say nothing happened. It's already Tomei Midras. It's already as Tomei is going to get. Therefore, on Tuesday, when you turn it into the curtain, the Tumas Midras goes away. The Tumas Maga never got in the first place. Therefore, it's Tomei. But Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying not that. Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying that on Monday it now got a second Tumah, a cumulative Tumah, and now when the first Tumah, Tumas Midras, went away on Tuesday, the Tumas Naga still remains.
If the stronger one goes away, then of course it doesn't go away.
No, because the stronger one is stronger, but it only applies as long as it's a sheet. Once you turn it into a curtain, then that kind of Tumah can no longer apply. That's correct.
The stronger Tumah, when it turns into a curtain, goes away. The weaker tumor, when it also turns into a curtain, should also
no, because it, as a curtain, it's still subject to that type of tumor.
Hold on.
One second. Okay, you jumped in just as much. You've been jumping in much more. Come on. Okay, listen. If as a curtain on Tuesday, if after it's turned into a curtain on Tuesday, the zov were to touch it, there's no question that it would be tumor from Maga Zov. the same kind of thing that could have happened here to the sheet on Monday, the same thing could happen here to the curtain on Tuesday. So there's no reason that the Tumas Maga, that should go away. The question is, how does the Tumas Maga come on it in the first place? If it's already, if you're going to say the concept, Sovalei Tumah, you should say, once it was already Tumi Nidras, it's not capable of getting any more Tumah than that. Therefore, when the fact that the Zav touched it doesn't make it any more Tumah, therefore, when the Tumas Midras goes away, there's no other Tumah, then there's no other Tumah to take over. As opposed to, Rabbi Yossi seems to be saying, not that, that you still had a second Tumah that came on top of the first one. Now, fine, once the first one got went away, the second one remained. The point is that you don't hold the concept of Sovalei Tumah. You don't hold that just because it absorbed a stronger Tumah, it can't also absorb a weaker Tumah.
That's what
Abaye is asking. So you're telling me, Rava, that is a concept of Sovalei Tumah, therefore going back to our case of the two pieces of the Mincha that you have, we said one of them became Tumah, then you put it in the Keli with the other one, then the Tevuyah touched that same one again. You, Rava, arguing nothing happens to the second one because the first one, Sovalei Tumah, it already got the maximum amount of Tumah based on what we see of Rav Yossi in this mission over here. It seems not like that. On the lay, so Rava answers him very simple. Who says, you're assuming that first came the midras, then came the touching. Maybe it was the other way around. Maybe the case is the Zav touched it first, then he lay on it. Then what you have is first it had a lesser Tumah of Maga, then it got a stronger Tumah of Midras. Of course, a stronger Tumah can come on top of a weaker Tumah. There's no question. If you have something that originally became a Rishon Tumah, for example, no question later on it can become an Ava Tumah by something stronger touching it. What we're discussing is whether it can be the other way around. So you don't necessarily have a proof that Rabbi Yossi.
Then there's no question
that the Midras can be Chal on top of the Maga. And then, therefore, that when the midrash eventually goes away by turning it into a curtain, you're left with the original Tumas Maga that it had.
The other way around,
not necessarily. Aval Hocha, but in our case, the Aidi Ba'aidi Tumakala, in our case involving the pieces of the Mincha, where both of them are Tumakala, okay, one's a Rishon, one's a Sheni, but they're still both a lesser level of Tumah. They're still both blood at the Tumah. Lois, and maybe not necessarily. Maybe not necessarily do we say that once it absorbed one, that it can absorb the other one. So you don't have a proof necessarily against me, says Rava. Okay.
I didn't even know this thing of Tumakala and then Maga.
The general idea of Tumakala versus Tumakamura means an Ava Tumah, something that's capable of being Metame anything. People, Kalim, food, drinks. As opposed to a Tumakala, also known as a Vlada Tumah, is something that, at least Midaraisa, can only be Metame food and drinks. That's the difference. In other words, when we talk about the Zav touching or sleeping on things or whatever, so the difference is something that he touches becomes a Rishon LaTumah, something that he lies on, when he lies on it as a sheet, it becomes an Ava Tumah, just like he himself is an Ava Tumah. Now if somebody else were to lie on that sheet, he would become Tumah. And it's an Ava Tumah, as opposed to with the Mincha, the two halves of the Mincha, even we're talking about it became Tumah, fine, but what did it become as a Tumah? It became a Rishon LaTumah. If the Tevuyah touches it, what is it becoming? It's becoming a Shlishi, the Tumah. Okay, but they're still both blood is a Tumah. You still only have either a Rishon or a Shlishi. It can only be Metame other foods and drinks. They can't be Metame people, at least not Daraisa. Okay. Ela Misesa. So no, let's say rather that we don't know yet. So let's try to bring a proof from the Sefer of that same Mishnah about the concept of Sovalei Tumah. The Mishnah continues, Moedir Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi will agree about the following case. If you have two sheets that are folded and placed one on top of the other, and Tosfos on the next Amud and Shitva Kobetis over here explains that we have to be talking about apparently there's some space between them. We're not talking about they're laying directly one on top of the other. You have one, and then you have another one a little distance below. It doesn't matter what there is. There's just air. Let's say there's air between them. Because now you have another concept that we have to know of as far as a Zav, which is, we know if a Zav sits or lies or whatever on something that's meant for that purpose, it becomes Tumah Midras. The din is also, though, that even if you have a bunch of beds or a bunch of sheets or mattresses or what have you, one below the other under the Zav, all of them will become Tumah in the same way. All of them will become Tumah Midras, even the ones that he didn't directly touch. So if you have the same thing, if you have a stack of chairs like that over there and a Zav sits on the top chair, all of them are going to become Tumah Midras. So over here, you have a, you have two sheets that are folded.
The air in between is.
No, not because of the air in between, just because that's how it is. There's the cockles. That's the, everything that's, the, that's called patone, you know, yono shows off. It's, yeah. That's, that's how it is. Everything that's supporting the weight of the zov is going to get. Or even if it's not supporting his weight, actually. I think even if you have like a heavy stone between them, so it's not directly supporting his weight, whatever. That's a whole other issue. That gets a little bit complicated. But anyway, the point is, so you have the shneis dinin on the kopalin. Suppose you have two sheets that are folded, menachem zel zeh. You have one on top of the other, and a Tosfos and Shitim Kabbetis are saying there's some space between one of them. The yosh of zav aleh. And now a zav sat on the top one, which means therefore he's also above the bottom one. So elyon tomei midras. So now what happens is the top one becomes tomei midras, of course, because he sat on it. Ba'tachin tomei midras umaga midras. The one on the bottom is tomei from two types of tumah. Number one, because it itself is midras, because as we just said, the whole stack of sheets or whatever is going to become tummy. Second of all, this bottom one also touched the top one, and therefore it's going to have the tumor of maga midras. Maga midras means that it touched something which is midras. So that's a little bit different. Before we were talking about maga azov, where the zov himself touched it, here we're talking about maga midras. It touched the other one, it touched the other sheet which was above it, therefore now it has two types of tumor. So therefore, the point, same thing, the third one will also become Tomei Midras. It won't be Maga Midras because it didn't touch the first one. So the point about the space being there, because Tosis points out, if they were directly on top of the other, so as soon as he sits, he's resting his weight on both of them, then both of them are going to be Tomei Maga. Then both of them are going to become Tomei Maga. The top one he sat on, and it touched the bottom one. And the bottom one he sat on, and it also touched the top one. So each one of them is going to become Tomei Maga Midra. So, so we have to be talking about over here. There's some space between them, but then as he sat down, that space got flattened out. So now, the bottom one ended up touching the top one. That's what we're saying. So the top one, therefore, only has Tumas Midras, which would mean, therefore, again, if later on we took that top one and turned it into a curtain, then it's no longer Tumas at all. The bottom one, on the other hand, is still going to have the Tumas of Maga Midras, because it touched something which was Midras.
Again, if Midras steps up the chair, it goes to the down, then why is it different?
It is, but the difference is, because if it was a matter of that they're all touching, if they're all touching to begin with, then each one is touching the other one, then you're not talking one is only Midras and one is Midras and Maga Midras. Both of them are Midras and Maga Midras, because each one touched the other one. We're trying to find a case over here where we're trying to find a case where one is going to be different than the other.
Okay, you see these stairs one after the other?
Yeah.
The Midras will touch, will sit on it, all of them will be... You have the same din?
Okay, so one...
Look at the space.
Right. Okay, so, well, there, I mean, you have space between them, but actually you don't really. Because the legs of them are touching each other. No, but here we're talking about, in other words, what you have is like this. When he sits on the top one, what happens is the top one becomes Tomei Midras. At the same moment, the one underneath it also becomes Tomei Midras. But then what happens is that the top one is not able to become Tomei Maga Midras because you have the same issue. You're going to have a lighter trauma on top of a heavier trauma, and you don't do that. But the bottom one is going to be able to have both. The bottom one touches the top one and also then becomes Midras as a result of the top one. So there you have the Maga is coming in because the bottom one is touching the top one.
That is a better one. It's more Maga now than the top one. The top one has more. This has two.
Exactly, because therefore the top one, if you made it into a curtain, is not going to be Tomei at all anymore. The bottom one is still going to be a Rishon L'Truma.
The first half one, that's Midras.
That's Midras only.
But if it digs in,
it's first.
All other ones are Maga
Midras. Are Midras and Maga. So therefore, even if you take away the mid, because they touch the top one. Well, the second one, we're not talking about if there were three, because if there were three, the bottom, the third one's not touching the second one, so we won't get it, it's not touching the first one, so we won't get into that. But, at least if you only have... Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, okay, it's touching the second one, fine, okay, whatever. The point still remains that you have the second one, we're focusing on the second one over here, becomes Tomei Midras and Tomei Maga Midras. So it becomes an avatruma and a rishon l'truma.
Because there's a space now, but
because once he sits on it, there's no longer that space.
But then the whole touching has all that matters.
That's the point. So all of them became midras, but the bottom one also became maga midras, so touch the top one. Yeah. So now.
One second. Tumas mandras, it has to be direct.
Midras does not have to be direct. That's the point. That's why the second one becomes midras, even though he didn't touch, even though he didn't sit on it directly. Because it's underneath him. It's somewhere underneath him. Again, v'amai, now why should, now according to you, Rava, why should we say that the second one becomes tamei maga midras, lema sava le tumah? Shouldn't you say the same thing? It became midras, so it can't now also get the weaker tumah of maga midras. And the answer is, hosam v'atachas, the difference is over there, it all happens at the same time. Hacha v'zachazeh, our case involving the two parts of the mincha is one after the other. You're saying you want to have that the tevuyah touches the one, and then the tumah goes from it to the other one. That's not quite the same thing as this case of the sheep. We're in the same instance over there, the second one is becoming midras and maga midras. That's the difference. Therefore, we could say that when it's all at the same time, sure, a lesser tumah, a greater tumah, whatever, they all happen at the same time. But the fact is, so yeah, there's, you know what? You can think of it sort of like you were mentioning before about superposition, about imposing one on top of the other. You know, consider how it is as far as isur chal al isur. You have the concept, one of the ways where isur can be chal on isur is when the isur b'asachas, when the two isurim happen at the same time. As opposed to if they're one after the other, then the second one has to be stronger. It has to be isur kolol, it has to be isur moisif. So here we're arguing a similar concept. Rava would say, if it's b'asachas, then yeah, it doesn't matter whether one is lesser and one is greater, the fact is they happen at the same time. But here, we were talking about, you want the one lump to become tamei, to become possible from the tevuyah, after it's already tamei on a higher level of tumah, and then to jump to the other one, that not necessarily, because this one already was tamei with a higher degree of tumah, so maybe sovale tumah. Okay. So we don't know. So it's left undecided. So it's a topic. It's a topic, therefore, whether the other one is there. Okay. No, it doesn't specifically say who, but yes. Okay. Omar Rava. Here Rava says now, here's another deal. Yes, that's true. Sometimes the Gemara will say take who, sometimes not. I don't know. All right. Omar Rava. Okay, now Rava says, here's another din, speaking of different pieces of a mincha in one case. And speaking also of this whole, is going back also to this whole issue of siruf kli, about the pieces that are in the keli combining together as far as tumah. Isorin shecholta. So let's say you have an isorin of a mincha that you divided into two parts. V'avad echad mehed. Now, what happened is one of those two parts got lost. V'hifrish achar tachta. Now, what you did is you set aside another half isorin to make up for it. We learned it in the first parak of this mesechta, that if you have a scenario like that, where you had a mincha which was supposed to be a full isorin, and some of it got lost before you did the kmitza, then we said you bring more flour from your house and refill it and continue from there. So that's what he did over here. He brought more flour, he brought another half isorin to fill it up, to make it a full isorin.
Yes, doesn't make
a difference. This is all before the kmitza. This is all before the kmitza. After the kmitza, it would be a whole different matter, yeah. Okay, the nimsa habisha. Now what happened is,
you divided it.
One piece got lost. So you set aside another piece of a half isorin to make up for that missing one. And then, the nimsa harisha, and then you found the original missing piece. Now suppose you have all those three pieces in the one keli. You have three half isorinim, one, two, three in the keli. One of them belonged to the original mincha, but then got lost and then was found. The second one belonged to the original mincha and was always there. And the third one was brought to replace the first one after when it was missing.
So now
let's see. Nitma avud. So now what happens is, if the piece that was lost and then found became tamei, then we say avud v'rishon mitzarten. Then we say that piece together with the first piece, meaning the second piece, meaning in other words, the other one that was originally part of the mincha, are mitzaref, and therefore they both become tamei, siruf kli, because they were both part of the same mincha. Mufrash ein mitzaref, but the one that you set aside to make up for the original one is not going to combine together and become possible with it.
It's not being used, right.
Because it wasn't going to go with that first piece, because the first piece was lost, and as far as you knew, it's never going to be found, and therefore you set aside this other one to make up for it. So therefore, that last piece, that third piece, has no connection with the first piece.
Yeah.
Therefore, if the first piece became tummy, the third piece is not going to become tummy, but the second one will. There are three.
It's
along the same chain. Said the bista,
the
bista,
yes. You can combine.
We're saying they can't. They can't combine. Right. That's what we're saying. The first and the third don't combine. Nifma mufrash. What about if the one that you set aside, make up for that, became, what if that one was touched by the tabulia and became tummy? The other way around. Mufrash verushin mitzakin. That one together with the second piece, we use the word rishon over here, but we mean rishon as in the first piece that was always part of the mincha and was always there.
Okay.
So we have to clarify our terms over here. You have, there's the avud, the one that was lost and then found. You have the rishon, which is the one that was always there. And you have the mufrash, the one that was separated to replace the original one.
So we say 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, we call them 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. So again, if one became tameh, we're saying two becomes tameh, but three does not. If three is the one that became tameh, the mufresh is the third one that you set aside to replace the lost. From somewhere else. Yeah. So mitma mufresh, if that third piece became tameh, mufresh tradition mitzayfin, then it combines together with piece number two because again they had a connection because that third piece was meant to go with the second piece. Rishon ain't mitzarif. If the one that was lost is not mitzarif, because again, that lost one had no connection with the third one. Nitma rishon, if the second piece became tomei, shneim mitzarif, and then both of the other ones combined with it, because each of the other ones has a connection with it. The ovud has a connection with it because it was originally part of the same mitzvah. The mufresh has a connection with it because it was set aside to go together with this one. Therefore, if this one became tameh, both of them became possible.
Well, can't you say that the first one, the piece that was replaced, that was intended to replace the lost one, substituted that other one?
No, because each one of them has a different kind of connection with the second one. The first and the third have no connection with each other. They only have a connection with each other through the second one. So the second one has connections with both of them. The first and the third have no connection with each other. Therefore, the first one is not going to be the time of the third, and the third is not going to be the time of the first. That's what we're saying. That's according to Rabbi. Abaya says no. After the mitzvah, echaman nami shnei mitzvah, and it doesn't matter if any one of the three became tamei, then all the other ones combined. My time. Why is that? Kula bnei biksa dahadari. You know, because they're all in the same hut. Biksa means like a hut. Rashi says bnei bayis echaman. They all came from the koyach of one mincha. They were all associated with one mincha originally. Okay, the first and the third don't have a direct relationship with each other, but they were still, the first one was part of that mincha, and the third one was meant to replace that mincha. Therefore, they're all considered to have a connection with each other. It's like they're all housemates, so to speak. The chema inyan k'mitza. Continues the b'raita, the same thing will be true as far as k'mitza. Same thing. If you have the three pieces together in the keli over there, so you're going to have the same issue. Tomas mina avud, if you took the k'mitza from the first piece, the one that got lost and then was found, shira verishin mecholin, then fine, you can eat the shirayim of that first piece, and also the shirayim of the second piece. Mufresh ain't in mechol, but you can't eat the third piece, because the third piece wasn't part of that mincha, therefore. The koimus is only matu, the one isarin. You can't have a mincha, which is an isarin and a half. Here you have an isarin and a half total on the table. And therefore, so you have the knista help for the first and the second one, but it doesn't help for the third one if he took the knista from the first one. Comas minam mufresh, and it's the other way around. If he took the knista from the third part, shiara verusha necholin, and then you can eat the shiraim of that one, and you can eat the shiraim of the second piece. Because again, they have a connection. The third piece was meant to go together with the second piece. Ovud ain't necholin, but you're not going to be able to eat the one that was lost and then.
The
Rishon. Well, we're calling it over here in the Gemara Avud. Rishon is what we're calling over here in the second piece. Yeah. Komas min Rishon, but if you took the Knitza from the second one, Shneim ein necholim, then neither of the other ones can be eaten, because you don't know which of the other halves is supposed to go with the second one. Again, we know the first one doesn't go with the third one. I mean, no, the third one doesn't go with the first one. So there's no question, therefore, we're saying, says Rava, if you took a Knitza from the first one, it's not going to affect the third one. And if you took a knitza from the third one, it's not going to affect the first one. But if you took a knitza from the second one, which of the other ones is it affecting? Is it affecting the first one, or is it affecting the third one? You don't know. Therefore, you can't eat them either. It can't affect both, because the minchah can't be any sort and a half. It has to be any sort. No more, no less. So therefore, no good. So therefore, you can only eat from the second piece, but not from the first or the third. Again, that's according to Rava. Abaya Omer, and Abaya says no. Afilu Chomas Me'echa Me'en. No, even if you were to take the Kaimet from one of them, Shnei'en Einen Echolin, you still would not be able to eat from any one of them. You still wouldn't be able to eat the other two. Again, my time, Kulanami, B'nei Dikzadadadin, because again, they're all housemates, they all belong to the same Mincha, and therefore, effectively, what you have is each one is still considered to have a connection with the other one. They really only have a connection to the second one. Abaya says that doesn't really matter. The fact is they all pertain to the Mincha, and therefore they all have a connection with each other. Right.
So you cannot eat them because
what? So you can't eat. So if you took the Kremis from any one of them, you can't eat the other two. Because you, each time, no matter which one you took the Kremis from, which of the other pieces is it going along with? You don't know. By the way, I mean, when we were talking on Omer Aleph, we had Rava's question yesterday about when they were separated. Here we're not talking about where they're physically separated in the Kaylee. Here we're talking about they're all next to each other in the Kaylee. You don't have that whole issue before taking the Kremis from one of them, but you still have the issue of which one of them is included and which one is not. Okay. Maski for Rapapa. Okay, so Rapapa says, I have a basic question with this whole scenario over here. You're telling me, at least, that of the half Isarin that you took the Kremis out of, you're saying in any of these three scenarios, you're able to eat the Shiraim of that half Isarin. The problem with that is we've got to consider proportionately what is this climate going on? You have only two out of these three pieces require a climate because you can't have a mincha that's made out of an Isarin and a half. It's either one Isarin or two Isarin, not one and a half. So necessarily only two of the three pieces are included in this climate. Therefore, the problem is, so what do you mean? Shiraim b'gei mi nechalin? So what are you telling me you're going to be able to eat the Shiraim of the one piece that you took the kremitz from? The problem is, ha'ika danka the kremitz b'leikori. After all, you should have one-sixth of this kremitz, that should not be able to be offered. Why a sixth? Because what you have is like this. Really, what should have happened is you have only two pieces that pertain to this mincha, and therefore you would have half a kremitz from one and half from the other. Instead, you have three pieces over there, and therefore the equivalent is you have one-third of the kremitz for one, and one-third for another, and one-third for the third. The difference between a third and a half is one-sixth. So therefore, it comes out, in other words, that for each half isarin, of the three half isarin that we have over here, each one of them should have had a half a kremitz come out of it. Instead, it's only having a third of a kremitz come out of it, so therefore you're missing a sixth. And so therefore, so you have that problem. And so in other words, what you have is therefore, so now what you have is the kremitz is missing something. The kremitz is missing something that it should have. It should have a half from each of two of the pieces, and instead it has a third from each of the two of the pieces.
You divided the Isarin in two,
then you add another piece that went supposed to go with one of the other pieces.
Right.
That didn't belong to the initial one, but you used it as a replacement. Each one of them, we're saying, is a half these are. So you have a half, and a half.
So you have three halves.
So now what you have is, if we're saying that all three of them pertain to this mincha, so then what you have, but really it's not. Really a mincha can only consist of two of them.
Right.
So therefore what you have, instead of a half kremitz from one and a half kremitz from the other and nothing from the third one, instead you're having a third from this one and a third from this one and a third from this one. The difference between a third and a half is a sixth. So you're coming out that this kremitz is missing something that it should have. It's missing something that it should have.
Not a third, if you have.
One third, one third, one third equals all.
A third of what?
Of the half isarin. A third of the kremitz, rather. A third of the kremitz is coming from each of these ones, effectively.
A third of the kremitz,
that's what I'm saying. And maski for Rabbi Yitzchok Breder and Meshaushi, and Rabbi Yitzchok Breder and Meshaushi says, I have another question. Not only what Rapapa is saying that the kremitz is missing something, you have to ask a different way of looking at it. The kremitz gufei hechi kodesh. Also, how can you be offering the kremitz itself? Don't you have one third of it consists of cholin? Because the fact is, again, one third of what's in the keli over here is not supposed to be there. It's cholin. It doesn't belong to the mincha. And therefore, if the kremitz consists of one third, one third, one third, then one third of that kremitz is cholin. You can't eat the kremitz. Yeah.
So
that's the question. We don't know which is the one. We don't know. Yeah. So therefore, so what are you telling me that some part of the shirayim is going to be able to be eaten if you have a pot of kremitz over here?
Which one left because it was replaced.
No, but we don't know. No, no, no. Because according to, especially according to what Abaya is saying over here, that especially according to what Abaya is saying, that any one of them has a connection with the other two, and even according to Rava, that was saying the second one has a connection with both of the other ones, and therefore if you took a klamet from the second one, you're saying you can't eat from the shidayim of either of the other ones, but how can you eat from the shidayim of the second one itself, of that happening sorin? If you have within that klamet the kolon, and within that, and the kolon, and the klamet is missing some of the volume that it should have. The answer is Omar. The answer is Ravashi Omar. Ravashi says neither of those questions, both of those questions, we can dispose of. Neither of them is a serious question because koymet bedaita de koyim, Talia. Because the koymet really depends on the daf of the koyim. The koyim he comes aisaron to komis. When the koyim is doing the kmitza, he has in mind to only do it on behalf of the one aisaron. Now, granted, he doesn't know which one, which is the other half that's meant to go with this half that he's taking the koymets from. However, he does know that somewhere in this container there is one holy sodom that makes up the mincha, plus something else that is not supposed to be part of the mincha, and he's taking the koymets only on behalf of the sodom that truly constitutes the mincha, even though he doesn't know specifically which one in the keli it is, and therefore that's good enough for it to say that the koymets is a valid koymets. It has its full volume. We consider that half of it came from one, half from the other, and ignore the third. We say it's not missing anything. It doesn't contain any chulin, and therefore,
physically we don't know,
but at least there is a right.
And that's why
one is cool. So the third one is cool. And so therefore, you can only eat the shirayim of the one that he took the claimants from. Right. So he doesn't have the intent to associate the one that's cool. Exactly. Therefore, the claimants is good, and therefore, that part of the mincha will be good. Well, he doesn't know anymore, but Hashem knows. But that's the point is, the Kohen has a daf, wherever that other half, whichever is the other half that it's supposed to be, that's the one that I have in mind. Mishnah says, Nitma HaKoymet, now, suppose the Koymet became Tomei, the Krivoi, and then the Koyan offered it, which, okay, maybe he shouldn't do it with the Hakila, but he went ahead and did it. The Sith of the Koyan Gadol will make it acceptable. As we've learned before, that the Sith makes Kobanas that are Tomei acceptable with the other. Yotza the Krivoi, on the other hand, if the Koymet was taken out of the Azara, and then he brought it back in and offered it, where it became possible by being taken out, ain't a sitz merasa, then the sitz is not going to make it acceptable. Sha'at sitz merasa, when it comes back in, right. So it'll still be possible, and the sitz can't help anything with that. Sha'at sitz merasa ala tome, because the sitz can only help for korbanos of tome, ain't a merasa ala yotze, cannot make acceptable korbanos that became possible by being taken out of the Azara.
How do you know what the sitz is merasa?
Because we have a Gemara in front of us. And the Gemara is going to tell us. Turn it up. We learn in the Braisa. When the Pasuk says, V'nosa Aaron et Avona Kodeshim, the Pasuk says that Aaron, by wearing the Sith, will take away the Avera of the Kodeshim. So we have to figure out which Avera, which issue that went wrong with the Kodeshim is the Sith going to help about. The Chieda Ovin who knows it. What kind of problem with Korbanos could the Sith help with? In Toma Ovin Pigul, are you going to say it's the Avera of Pigul? Pigul, by the way, doesn't necessarily mean over here that literally, like we said, like we learned before in the Masechta, where he had in mind to eat it or burn it or whatever chutzpah's man. It can actually be talking about, as I think Tosfos says in some other places, it can be, and Tosfos also briefly discusses it over here, we can be talking about where he had in mind, that Pigul over here would mean where he had in mind chutzpah makoyim. Be that as it may, the point is, because the next thing is going to be noiser, where noiser wouldn't mean, because the next thing that's going to mention in the Braita is noiser, where noiser can't mean if somebody ate it 2 days later, that b'dieved now, retroactively, the sitz is going to be merase. What it would mean is noiser would mean where he had in mind to eat it beyond the time, which is chutzpah mane, what we've been calling pigle everywhere else in the Masechta. Pigle, therefore, in our Braita would have to mean where he had in mind chutzpah mekayim. Because we can, especially because the Torah itself uses the word pigul, and we learned back in the first Teres, and we learned in Vachim, that from the pasuk over there involving pigul, we actually learned both chutzpah manos and chutzpah makos. Yeah. Okay. So, in Torah, we're going pigul. Are you going to tell me that the sitz takes care of the avera of pigul? Can't harek banim a lo yechashim. The pasuk says it won't be counted for him as valid korban. In Torah, we're going noiser. Are you going to say it means the avera of noiser, again, meaning having in mind to make it noiser, to leave it after the time, harek manem alo yerosa, the pasuk says it won't be acceptable. So those can't be the averas that the sitz takes care of. Ha, ain't in noiser, ela oven tumor, so therefore we have to say that the only avera that we can say that the only avera that the sitz takes care of is where there is tumor involved. And the reason why Tuma is more lenient than the others, Shehutra Mikol of Tzibur, because we have, there's an exception for the general rule. You're not allowed to bring Karbanas Tuma, but you are allowed to when they're Karbanas Tzibur. So since we see there's that leniency regarding Tuma, therefore we can... Everybody agrees. You have the machlokes whether it's the Tuma or Hutra, fine, but everybody agrees that basic concept that Karbanas Tzibur are brought for Tuma if necessary. All you have is a machlokes, should you try to do it for Tara or not. But the fact that you bring in the Tuma is accepted by everybody. So therefore, we see that there's that kula when it comes to Tuma, and therefore we can say that's what the pasuk is implying, that therefore there's another kula in it that the fifth is Merasa. Actually, Tosfos asked the question. I mean, we already eliminated all the other possibilities, so all we're left with is Tuma. Who cares whether Tuma has another kula in it? Okay, Tosfos says, because the fact is, the pasuk says by the fifth, the rasa and lahem, that'll be acceptable for them, so therefore we want to find something else where we find elsewhere that a particular thing is acceptable. So we never find that noiser or pigle are acceptable, but we do find that Tuma is acceptable. Okay. Maskiflot Abzera, however, Abzera asks on that, Eimer Oven Yosef, Shehutra Mikol Ibabama. Why? Maybe the case that the fifth takes care of is where there's an Abzera where part of the korban was taken out of the Azara, where we said in our mission that the fifth doesn't help with it. Maybe it does, Shehutra Mikol Ibabama, because we can say there's a leniency with Yosef also. Namely, that when it comes to Abama, you don't have an issue with Yosef. Abama is, so Rashi actually mentions over here the idea that even when we say Bama, we mean even in Noiv and Giver, and as we learned from at the end of Zvachim, during the period when you had a Bama Gdola over there, Rashi says there were no Kloyim over there. Yeah, the Achroinim ask on him, there were Kloyim over there, we saw in Zvachim. So okay, they say we're talking about private Bama. Kloyim, the curtains around the Azara. So to mark off the area where country had to be. But okay, then maybe what we mean is there was no Yoster when it came to Kodshim Kalim, because we learned over there that you could eat them anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it means a Bama Kana. Anyway, the point is that, so you see that Yoster is mutter by a Bama, one or another type of Bama. Maybe that's the kind of thing that the Sith helps for in the Mishkan or the Beth Mikdash. Abaya answers, no, because Omakrol would rot and Lahem Lifnei Hashem. Because the Pasuk says that the Sith will make it acceptable for them before Hashem. Implying, Oven de Lifnei Hashem Ein, we're only talking about an Avera, we're only talking about something that went wrong, which is inside the Azara, in Hashem's presence. Ein, Oven de Yoseh Loi, but not the Avera of it being taken out, which is not Lifnei Hashem anymore. We didn't have this quite, well, we have Lifnei Hashem, yeah, we talked about inside versus outside the Azara, yeah, we didn't have quite this idea yet. Fine. Mask is for Rabbi Elah. Okay, Rabbi Elah asks, here's another one. Ema Oven Smoil. How about you can say the fifth is Mechaper and makes acceptable a korban that was offered with the Kohen's left hand? And again, you would say, why is the left hand more lenient? Shehutra Mikol Yom Kippurim. Because you have one. It comes to Yom Kippur. That there's a leniency in it. We say on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol carries in the spoonful of Tertus in his left hand and the pan of cold in his right hand. But therefore, you see there you have an avodah that you're allowed to do in the left. Maybe therefore the pasuk. Fine, but nevertheless we see. One second, actually, we'll wait. But on the face of it, we see therefore we could say since Smoil is mutter over there, unlike usual where pasuk, maybe therefore the implication is the rest of the year if the claim does the avodah with Smoil, then the fifth will make it acceptable.
Yeah,
No, we had other discussions about it. Not
Smoil cannot be acceptable.
Well, Smoil is acceptable on Yom Kippur.
On Yom Kippur.
Yeah, well, that's what we're saying. However, Omalei Abaya, but that's the thing. Why wouldn't we say that the fifth makes it acceptable the rest of the year? No, Omalei Abaya, like this. Omakro Ovoin, yes, but the Pasuk uses the expression Ovoin, which means an Avera, implying Ovoin Shahoya Boyu Dechisit, implying we're talking about something where there was a situation of Avera. There is an issue of Tumah, and normally when you're Tumah, you're not allowed to be in the Beis Mikdash, let alone or for Korbanos, Shehoyabos, he had an Avera in it, Ubechisiv, but we say we pushed it away because it's a Korban Sefer.
Right.
However, La Pokidim, a component, Dech shared it with Smurl, as opposed to Yom Kippur, there's no Ovoin, La Chachila, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Because, as you just said, there's no other way of doing it, there's no other way for it to carry the cold and the spoon. But in other words, the point is that when it comes to Tumah, there's an Avera, there's an Ovoin of offering of usually a Kohen is not allowed to offer a Kodshim when he comes. But because the Kohen Sibur, we're allowing it. as opposed to, it's not that the Kohen is not allowed to carry the spoonful of turdus in his left hand, but it would be an avera for him to do, but we allow it. Well, Hatchila is allowed. That's the way he's supposed to do it. So it's not an oven. You can't stand it. Oven. You can't say that there's an oven that's being removed. Fine, only any paper. But that means, therefore, it's not something that the sitz would take care of the rest of you. La pukid yam akum, that's shade of the smell. So as opposed to yam kippur, where the proper way of doing it, Hatchila, because that's the way to do it, therefore it's not an oven, therefore the sitz cannot take care of it the rest of the year. On Yom Kippur, you don't need the sitz for it. On Yom Kippur, you don't need the sitz, because it's the proper way of doing it. And the rest of the year, the sitz doesn't work for it. As opposed to tumah, any time during the year, Yom Kippur or any time during the year, it would be an avera to be offering kodesh in the tumah. However, that avera is being taken away because tumah tchuyah or hutra of a sibur. Therefore, we're saying, even when it's not an issue of sibur, the sitz is able to help with it. Okay. Rav Ashi says there's a different way to say how you know that sitz doesn't help for doing the avodah with the left hand. Because the expression in the pasuk is avon hakodshim. The expression is that there was an avera involved in the kodshim, implying below avon hamakdishim, implying not that there was an avera involving the person who performed the avodah. Doing the avodah with the left hand is something involving not the korban itself, it's something involving the person who did the korban. As opposed to the korban being tameh is avoyna kodshin. So that's what we're saying. That's what the sitz takes care of. Okay. Amalei Rav Sima Breder of Idi L'Ravashi. So the sitz takes care of tuma of avoyna kodshin, about an oven that involves a flaw in the kodshin, not a flaw in the makdishin, not a flaw in the koyan, in this case doing it with a left hand. But Amalei Rav Sima Breder of Idi L'Ravashi, the Amalei Rav Sima Breder of Ashi L'Ravashi, the Ema over in Balmum, maybe say that the Avera that the sitz takes care of, the Isur that the sitz takes care of, is if the Korban was a Balmum, and we would say that a Balmum is more lenient, so Hutra Mikolei Ba'ofris, because we see that there's an exception to the rule where when it comes to birds, the Balmum is allowed. The Amamai, which we learn in a Braisa, we've had a few times already. Tamus v'zachus for behema, the in tamus v'zachus for ofris. The concept that the animal needs to be, that the korban needs to be tumim without any mumim, and that it has to be a male and with certain korbanos only applies as far as behemoth. It does not apply to birds. So therefore, we could say maybe that since you have a leniency as far as a balmum, that it's allowed when it comes to birds. Therefore, the sitz will also help for it, even with an animal. That if an animal balmum was brought as a korban, that the sitz will be merasa for it. How do you know not? Amalei. So Rav Ashi answers him, Allah Amakra, to answer your question, the Pasuk says, Lo Yerasa, the Pasuk says regarding Balim Mumim, it will not be acceptable, and also, Ki Lo Yerasa Niyalachem, it will not be acceptable for you, implying, therefore, that there's no way to make it acceptable.
Even though it's acceptable for birds,
when it comes to animals, there's no way to make it acceptable. Yes, you're right, based on your logic, you should argue the sitz should, but the Torah specifically blocks that by using the expression lo yerasa and ki lo yerasa niyalachem.
It uses this expression in the context of mum.
We learn in a braisa. Dam shenitma, if the blood of a korban became tamei, with zorkoi, and you sprinkled it on the mizrach, b'shogig hursa, if it was b'shogig, now, the shogig could refer to one of two possibilities. We had the sugya in Zvachim as well, actually. But the word nitma could either mean that he didn't know it was tamei, or it could mean that he didn't know he wasn't supposed to sprinkle. So, b'shoigig hursa, b'mezid loy hursa. If he did it b'shoigig, then it's acceptable. If he did it b'mezid, then not. B'med ronim amurim b'yachid. When does that apply if it was a korban of... That's right. B'med ronim amurim b'yachid. Now, when does that apply to a korban of a yachid? Out of the sibur. But if it was a korban of the sibur, then b'shoigig, then b'mezid hursa. So whether b'shoigig or b'mezid, it'll be acceptable. Over oivit t'chavim, and furthermore, if it was a korban of a goy, where we learned in Zvachim, and we'll learn later on in our Masechta, that a goy is able to send korbanos to the Beis Mikdash to be offered on his behalf. We said they're oilus, we had a machlokes, whether it was for shlamim, bein b'shogig, bein b'mezid, bein b'onus, bein b'rotzen, whether it was b'shogig, b'mezid, b'onus, b'rotzen. By the way, I mean, shogig, essentially shogig, and essentially, Mazid and Rotsen are the same thing. But Rashi says, once you have the opposite of Shoyug is Mazid, the opposite of Onus is Rotsen, therefore it uses those two terms. Anyway, so then, Loi Hursa, then it does not become acceptable. Because Rashi says, when we say, the Pasuk says that the sit is on the Kohen Gadol's forehead, the Rotsen Lahem, that it should be acceptable for them, implying for the Jewish people, not for Goyim. We learned in Zvachim, we had a thing about this, the idea that only Korbanos of Jews are L'Rotzon, or to make the person acceptable by Hashem. A Goy's Korban doesn't quite have the same effect, because a Goy has a different type of relationship with Hashem, so therefore the sitz doesn't help. If the blood was Tomei, then either way the Korban's no good. Okay. The Gemara says a Ramin, but I have a contradiction to that.
One second, when it says here previously for the Tzibur, Ben Beshoyer, Ben Benedi, Hursa.
Yes.
Hursa means
that the Korban is acceptable. It means the Korban is kosher.
Nothing to do with the tits.
No, the tits still needs to be involved. The tits still is involved when it comes to Korban. Well, there you also get into the issue again where the tumor is Chuyo or Hutra of the Sibur. If it's Hutra of the Sibur, then you don't need the tits. If it's Chuyo, it still means you need the tits. The halacha is the Chuyo of the Sibur. It's not halacha, it's the Chuyo. So you do need the tits. You do need the tits. On top of that, you have machlokas in a few places in Shas. Does it mean only it works when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tits, or does it even help if the Kohen Gadol is not wearing the tits, provided that the tits is intact, that it's not broken? That I don't remember. I think the halacha is that it's
Chuyo. It works because it's Chuyo.
Yeah.
Because it's
healthy. Yeah.
Is that?
What? No, he didn't wear the tits for the Kohen Gadol. No. He only wore the four whites about him in town. Okay, the Gemara says a Ramin. We have a contradiction where we have another Braisa that says as follows. Alma hasit merasa. What does the sit make a korban acceptable? What does a korban help for? What does the sit help for with a korban? Yeah, we learned this in the same sugya in Zvachim we talk about. Aladam, regarding the blood of the korban, vala boser, or the meat of it, vala chelev, or the chelev, shinitma, which became Thomas, bain b'shoigig, bain b'mezid, bain b'ernest, bain b'rotsin, bain b'yachid, bain b'tibur. So we have one bride to say that when it comes to a yachid, it's only b'shoigig, but not b'mezid. And then we have another, and then we have this other bride that says it doesn't matter. Amar Rabbi Yosef, like Asha, ha Rabbi Yosef, ha Rabbah. So Rabbi Yosef says the answer is Zachim Achloikas Tanoi, Rabbi Yosef versus Rabbah. The Tanya, namely, we learn in a braisa like this. Part of this is actually a Mishnah, but you have the part about where Rabbi Yosi comes in is only in a braisa. So, Ein Tomin Minat Tomei Alatar, the Mishnah, or the braisa, starts by saying, you're not allowed to give Truma from Tomei produce on behalf of Tahor produce. In other words, if you have this produce, they both will be the same, they both will be the same meat. That's it. One second. You have, this one is wheat that became Tomei, this one is wheat that became Tahor. You're not allowed to take from the Tomei pile Shruma on behalf of both men. The Im Toram, if he did take the Shruma, the Shogig, so if he did it the Shogig, then Shrumate Truma, then it's valid Truma, because Daraisa, it would be, Daraisa is valid. Rashi brings from a Gemara that mentions in a few other places that if a person takes truma from bad produce on behalf of good produce, for example, b'di'evet, it's tomei, he's committed an avera, but the truma is still truma. But, so if it's for shogig, then fine, the chacham didn't count for him. The mezid ain't truma this truma, but if he did mezid, then it's not valid truma.
We just
wanted it. No, but we're talking about truma over here. We're not talking about korban. Hold on. We're talking about truma, and then we're going to relate it back to korban. So we're saying if he did it for Mazid, then his truma is not a truma. The Rabbanan...
We infer that from the fact that if he did it for Shogeg...
No, well, we have to spell out. So we have to spell out. Shogeg is truma, it's truma. The Mazid ain't truma, it's truma, because the Chachamim counted it. Rashi mentions that you have a machloekas in Yevamos about this one. You have one opinion that says that actually that part that he separated does have the dinim of truma. However, he's going to have to separate now more truma to actually make the Shirayim able to be...
Midaraita
would be valid. Midaraita is either valid either way. Mazid or Shogeg. Okay. Rabbi Yosi, I'm a bein b'shogeg, bein b'mazid, truma, it's truma. And Rabbi Yosi says either way it's kosher. It's valid truma. So therefore, apparently, we see that Rabbi Yosi doesn't distinguish between shogeg and mazid. The chachamim do. Okay, so then in that case, when it comes to the korbanos, same idea. Then the first braisa that said there's a difference for the korban of a yachid between shogeg and mazid is going to be according to the chachamim. The second one is going to be according to Rabbi Yosi. However, the Gemara says no. Aim or the Shamat by Rabbi Yosi, the Lekonis. Fine, you say that Rabbi Yosi is saying that the Chachamim did not cancer. The Merasa sits ala You aim or the Shamat by Rabbi Yosi. Okay, you can say, you've heard that Rabbi Yosi says that the Chachamim don't cancer a person in the case of Truma, even if it was remazed. But Gemarasa sits ala chilas mishamat reis. But where do you get the idea that Rabbi Yossi would say that the sits helps regarding the parts that are supposed to be eaten? We mentioned before, the second braisa mentioned the blood, but it also, and the chilas, but it also mentioned the meat. The meat is not burnt on the mizbeach, the meat is achilos, and Rabbi Yossi, it seems, doesn't hold that the sits helps for achilos. The Hotanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yezza oimar sits mirasa ala chilas. Rabbi Yezza says that the sits helps not only for the parts of the korban that are meant to be offered on the mizbeach, but also for the tumma of achila, that also for the tumma of achila, for eating the meat for tumma. Rabbi Yossi, and ena sits mirasa ala chilas, and Rabbi Yossi says that not. So therefore, the braisa that mentioned that it helps for the boso, the chame, doesn't seem to work according to Rabbi Yossi. But then you had the question, then it's fine. But the point is, you were arguing that the first braisa is like a chamim, the second one is like a yaiti. It doesn't seem to work. The answer is epoch. Flip around the opinions. Rabbi Eliezer omer ein asit merata al achilus. Rabbi Yossi omer asit merata al achilus. If you flip them around, then you can still make the second braisa work according to Rabbi Yossi, because he would say that the sit helps not only where the things that are offered on the mizbeach became tameh, but even when the meat became tameh.
He said
the first braisa is according to the chachamim, and also Rabbi Eliezer, I guess. And the second one will be according to Rabbi Yossi. Okay. Well, it's going to be minor time now, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with more discussion on this. That wasn't the last word on the subject.